You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
That's me, baby. Love a good hot meal at a fair price. Matt Miller will be here at 7:20, folks, to talk about movies and TV. Matt has seen, he's way ahead of me in the game when it comes to movies. He's all caught up. I am getting there, but Matt will tell us what's up. On the text line, our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, is what celebrity would you ask to go to the prom? And I said Julia Ormond. Conrad said Scarlett Johansson. My guests tonight, right now, here in studio, this is so much fun, are Sam Venese and Cliff Wall. And you guys said, tell me who you said you'd take to the prom, Sam.
Oh, in my age, Doris Day. She was my sweetheart.
Beautiful. That's a good choice. Cliff.
Well, I better say Betty Stonecliff, because that's my wife. Yeah. However, my second choice would be Jane Seymour.
Yeah, if your wife couldn't make it,
yes,
Jane would be a trooper and go in her stead. Yeah.
Well, my wife actually told me, she said, if you would have asked me to go to the prom, now she's from Escanaba, she probably would have said no anyway. But so I might have had a better chance with Jane.
Chris from Sauk County, he's in the 608. He says, he or she, it's Chris. Conrad, what do you do? You got to play it safe.
Yeah.
It's like Terry or, but Chris says Jason Momoa. Because I would choose him for everything, being Aquaman, being a superhero, going to prom, all those things work. And then help me with this next this text here.
I think that's a new description we get for.
I like this. Yeah. This is you guys. This involves you guys too. Packers prom and Pro Football Hall of Fame dreams. Pete Chihuahua kicks off. I've heard worse with my last name. Pete Chihuahua kicks off a lively Monday night in Wisconsin with a mix of entertainment, sports, and quirky questions. Pete and his producer Conrad. Misspell.
Yep.
Dive into the woes of the Brewers, the Packers' legacy, and the campaign to get Jack Venese into the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame. Special guest Sam Venese shares tales from his family's storied NFL history, including his brother's instrumental role in bringing Vince Lombardi to Green Bay. A spirited debate unfolds on which celebrity listeners to take to prom, with choices ranging from Scarlett Johansson to Sam Elliott. The show promises a blend of humor, nostalgia, and sports fervor. Whoever wrote that, please identify yourself. That was great.
I think that's AI, to be honest.
Somebody went to ChatGPT to send in a text?
No, no one sent that in. That's for us. No, there's no text relation to that.
Okay.
I don't know
what to make of that.
I don't. This is the first day I'm seeing this happen.
Okay. So. Maybe it'll be a normal thing. My guests are Sam Venese and Cliff Wall, and that last text pretty much summed it up. Sam's brother Jack was a Packers executive, brought Vince Lombardi to Green Bay. That's a pretty big deal, folks. He's in the Packer Hall of Fame. Cliff Wall and Sam, his brother, are here tonight talking about a campaign to get him into the NFL Hall of Fame. And tell us again, guys, how you plan to do that with the draft coming to town. Perfect opportunity, right?
Perfect opportunity. I'll put some words into Sam's mouth, but he's going to be in a tent on the corner of Ridge Road and Lombardi Avenue trying to get signatures from everybody that's going to watch the NFL draft.
Okay.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So
it's a pup tent. It's a two-person thing, so it's a bit of a chore. Not many people are going to...
No. Go ahead. No, it's going to be a canopy. I hope.
Big actual tent. Okay.
So we have to recruit some people to walk around put the tent up and walk around with petitions to sign it. And yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting. So you're on the board at Heritage Hill, you just told me, Cliff.
Well,
so
yeah, part of the other selfish reason to get involved is because Heritage Hill, like a lot of places in Green Bay, are trying to figure out how can we utilize the draft to get visitors and obviously bring some dollars into the park.
Sure.
And I thought this would be a good thing to have Sam talk about his brother and be a mission for both of us, really, get visitors here to chill. So what we decided to do on April 25th, which is the Friday of the draft, we're going to have, Sam can tell you a little bit more, but Sam is going to start the program talking about Jack and why he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's going to go from 1 till 3, so you still have time to get to the draft and get a fish fry and Friday night in Wisconsin, in Green Bay.
Old-fashioned, sure. Yeah.
So we're going to have, we're trying to get some David David Moranis, and a guy named Mike Lombardi, no relation, by the way.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, talking about why Jack should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, and I'll turn over to Sam to carry on with that.
Well, we do that, is there somewhere people can find out online more about the campaign you guys are doing? You want to give a website or social media?
Well,
it's already on social media.
Okay.
Yeah, share it. Facebook, if you're on Facebook, share it, because being on the board of Heritage Hill, I've been sharing their April 25th program. So, but we don't have a Get Jack in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.com or anything. But
okay.
Yeah, it's more of a, we'll call it a grassroots effort.
I hope you guys are successful. It's exciting.
Well, we're going to have a half a dozen speakers, and I'll probably start out the program just basically talking about how Jack got interested and take his childhood all the way up to when he came to Green Bay with Gene Ranzani. And then Warren Gerds knows all about Jack. It's one of my old clients, in fact. But he's going to talk about Jack, and the day before he's going to talk a little bit about have a program about the Ice Bowl. But then the third party is going to be Jack's daughter, Valerie Husser. She's going to show a video that Bob Houle made that was shown when Jack was inducted into the Green Bay Hall of Fame back in 85. And then, of course, we've got Mike Lombardi. Mike Lombardi is not related to Vince Lombardi. Mike Lombardi's got 3 Super Bowl rings.
The personnel director, right?
Yeah. He worked with Belichick. He worked with Walsh. He worked with
I think he went somewhere else after that too. He's a very successful guy.
Yeah, he's right now he's just joined Belichick, who's going to be the coach at North Carolina. Mike is going to be his general manager.
Ah.
So he's going to be on the program. And then, of course, Dave Robinson, great football star. He's going to be on the program. Okay. Royce Boyles, used to be a sports announcer in Green Bay, has written several books. He's going to be on the program. So I think we've got a really good staff.
And yeah.
Hopefully we're trying to get a few words from David Moranis. He's, of course, a very busy fellow.
Right.
And but hopefully we can get some words of that. You know, I know he feels that Jack should be as a contributor in the Hall of Fame. So hopefully he'll give us a good quote and we'll go from there.
Sam Venese is my guest, along with Cliff Wall, 2 guys trying to get Jack Venese into the NFL Hall of Fame. Jack is already a member of the Packer Hall of Fame and is largely responsible for bringing Vince Lombardi, maybe you heard of him, to Green Bay here. Sam, you went on to study. You were a veterinarian, very successful one. But you have these 2 brothers. Are you in the middle?
I'm the second one.
You're the second one.
We have a daughter, a sister.
Okay.
And who's a few years behind me. And then, of course, 10 years behind me is Jerry.
Was your sister a famous executive too, or just the brothers?
No, I think she's very jealous of the 3 boys.
All right, so you grew up in Chicago. You've got Jack, who did phenomenal things here in Green Bay. Your brother Jerry worked for the Bears. When did you become a Packer fan?
When Jack came up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you followed. You actually moved here.
When I graduated from Iowa State, I practiced for a year in Berwyn, Illinois, which you're familiar with. And Jack said, Sam, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to start my own practice. And he said, why don't you come up to Green Bay? He said, you know, you love to fish. You love to hunt. He said, Green Bay, we need a small animal doctor up here. Most of the doctors did small animal work. So I came up here and I practiced for a while. But my real interest was ophthalmology. I wanted to be a veterinary ophthalmologist. And so I stayed here for 5 years and then went back and got my degree in ophthalmology. And
that's what you specialized with animals.
That's what I specialize in. I'm retired now, but that's what I specialize in.
If you were called back into work in an emergency, do you think you could...
I think I could
get the hang of it again.
Well, I probably not surgery. You know, I'm at that point now. The only reason I retired is because I could feel that my hands were getting a little shaky, and I did mainly retinal detachment surgery, and I had to have pretty steady hands for that.
Is walleye vision a real thing?
Absolutely.
I remember it in the movie Hot Shots, and I thought it was a joke, and then I'm like, oh no, it's an actual thing. Okay. Cliff, do you like Jack's chances?
I really do. I think this is the opportunity with the draft in town to get just thousands and thousands of signatures.
Yeah.
And you know, all the sports writers, probably all the voting sports writers are going to be in town also. Now, how do we connect with them? Not sure.
Yeah.
But I guess just spread the word, being on your show, Pete, and you know,
sure.
Around the
Oh, I hope
Wisconsin.
It helps.
Yeah.
This is fun because I had no idea when I booked you guys that you had these ties. Well, I figured Jerry Venisi was your brother too, but I love that turmoil growing up in a house that starts off as Bears fans and then this rivalry exists, but it exists in your own house. Like, you've taken it to another level.
Well, we never took it serious. I think we just wish the best for each other.
Sure.
And had Jack been alive when Jerry, you know, became what he was, the general manager, he would have just, you know, he would have been joyous over the whole thing. There was enough love there not to worry about jealousy.
Sure. Oh, I'm sure.
Although I got to say, I'm a bit jealous because I thought this was about the Packers and we're mostly talking about the Bears.
Listen, Cliff, I've had about enough of your nonsense. That's all I'm... Cliff said, if you don't steer this conversation back to the Packers, I will get you in a headlock and I will whip your ass in your own studio. How do you like that? So how do you guys like the Packers' chances this upcoming year? They're in a very tough division, just as fans. What do you guys think? The Bears should be better. The Lions are great. Minnesota had a good year. We'll see what happens. But how do you like the Packers' chances this coming year?
We don't want to answer yet. No, we want to wait and see what the draft looks like.
Oh, okay.
They've got a tough schedule.
Yeah.
Really tough schedule.
For sure. Let me ask you this, Sam. Do you ever cheer for the Bears? Do you ever revert back to your childhood when the Packers aren't playing or if the Packers were eliminated from the playoffs and the Bears were still – that hasn't happened in about 30 years. But.
No, I enjoy seeing them lose.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Music to Green Bay's ears. You guys, this was so much fun. I wish you luck with your campaign. I hope your brother gets into the NFL Hall of Fame. It sounds certainly deserving. That would be great.
Yeah. So, anyway, Jordan Love's going to be healthy, so we are going to go all the way this year.
All right, Cliff. Yeah. There you go.
And then the other phrase I have to get in is, you know, the Bears' motto is rebuilding since 1985.
Conrad, we're going to edit that out later. Okay, guys, thanks so much. It was great meeting you, Sam and Cliff. Good luck with your efforts. We'll be right back with Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. He might want to weigh in on this too, Conrad. You never know. You know how Matt is. We'll talk to Matt next. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Our question of the night in honor of National Prom Day is, what celebrity would you like to take to the prom? We've had some pretty interesting answers, but get in on the fun, folks. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. On the stream, Craig says, Pete, the kid in episode 3 of Adolescence was brilliant. Not a weak spot in his performance at all. I agree with you, Craig. I'm only one episode in, but I really like it. So it's one of those shows I'm like carving out time because I want to sit and be uninterrupted. Love the idea that it's all one shot. And so far, I really like it. But I appreciate people not doing spoiler alerts here. Christine in the 414 says, John Candy is who she would take to prom. Oh, that would be... Wouldn't you love to hang out with John Candy?
That would be so great, so funny.
Prom or not, I just like to pal around with the guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Chris from Sauk County says, Chris is she, her. Thank you, Chris. I don't want to get that wrong. I immediately thought That's how far we've come in our society, Conrad. I see the name Chris. I immediately assume it's a guy. We made great progress. All right. Thank you, Chris, for clarifying that. All right. It is time for some movie and entertainment talk with our pal from Milwaukee. He's a film critic who does fine work, and his name is Matt Miller. He's been here before. Hey, Matt.
Hey, howdy. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing swell. It's Monday. It'd be nice if the Brewers won this season, but we're saving it.
Here's how far behind I am, Matt. I feel at my stage in life, I have one sport I can follow. And I choose the NFL because it's 17 games. It's once a week. I can handle that. Baseball or basketball, if my team does something, I'll start to follow. But I'm just getting into basketball now with the tournament. And Conrad had to tell me the Brewers have been outscored like 40 to something or whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah, they've lost by touchdowns these last few games. It's been a rough go. But you know what? Last season they started really hot, and then they kind of fell apart at the end of the season. And maybe this year they're just flipping the script a little bit, and they're starting off real slow this season and saving all of the fun and the wins for the back end of the season. So I'm fine with that trade-off.
Now you got 162 games. I don't think we need to panic just yet.
No.
Do you have Matt, I don't know if you heard part of our conversation that we just had with Sam Venisi and Cliff Wall, but Sam is Jack Venisi's brother. They're trying to get Jack into the NFL Hall of Fame. He's already in the Packer Hall of Fame as an executive. I know you're a big Packer fan. Are you familiar with that whole situation? And if not, you should drive up to Green Bay and sign the petition.
I do not, but I have a new reason to drive up north to check out Green Bay and to put my voice and my name down for the cause.
I love it. I hope they're successful. Two really good guys. And they said during the interview that Jack Venisi was largely responsible for bringing Vince Lombardi to Green Bay. So I would think that alone might be enough to get you into the Hall of Fame.
Kind of an important NFL figure, right. I would say.
Exactly. before we get into like what you've seen movie wise, do you go to Madison at all for the Wisconsin Film Festival, Matt?
I don't. It's a real hole in my game. Unfortunately, I've just never been able to make the time to do it. And the Milwaukee Film Festival, especially now in these recent years, has been so close to it.
Yeah.
And they share a lot of the same kind of movies in some cases. But they get really great retrospectives at the Madison Film Festival. I always look at their lineup with extreme jealousy. So I'm looking forward to making my maiden voyage to the Madison Film Festival one of these years. It is, like I said, it is a glaring hole in my movie nerd repertoire.
Yeah, you need more to cover, Matt, because you don't do enough already. So let's throw something else on your plate. And then I want to ask you tonight's question. Is there a celebrity you would like to take to prom?
I would honestly, Jennifer Lawrence seems like she's a really cool hang.
Yeah.
Like she seems like a fun person. Like there's a reason why everyone was like, put her in a comedy. She's a very naturally funny, at ease person, or at least that's her persona. I think she seems that way in real life too. I think she would be a really cool hang at a prom night.
That's a great answer. All right. So let's jump in because oftentimes when it's time to go, I like, I should have asked Matt that and this. I told you in our text exchange earlier that I just saw Last Breath last night and I really liked it. What did you think of Last Breath?
Yeah. So for those who don't know, that is the new drama about a true situation. A guy was basically left at the bottom of the ocean on a diving mission. It stars Woody Harrelson, Simu Liu. I thought that movie was pretty good. It is very funny. You get to the end of the movie and it's a little bit like I just watched 90 minutes of a workplace incident. Like it just kind of, the movie just kind of wraps right. up and there's no kind of like greater message or greater themes. It was just like, I guess this was like a big like OSHA whoops here.
Yeah, but, right.
I think it's well acted. I think the story is obviously inherently very intense and very terrifying. The idea of being left. And it's well documented. The filmmaker, the director, was the same person who did the documentary of the same name, which got a lot of popularity on Netflix in recent years. I think it's on Hoopla now. So if you're a public library member, you have access to that, I believe, for free. So he really kind of captures that underwater, eerie unease of the darkness of it all. I think it was a really good movie. And I think it's the – I have spent much of March frustrated – because people like to complain that Hollywood doesn't make original movies. They only make sequels and remakes and reboots. And all of March has been pretty original movies. You know, you have stuff like Mickey 17, which is based technically on a book, but not a book that people are super familiar with. You have Last Breath, which is, you know, not based on a comic book or anything. You have, you know, A Working Man, and you have, you know, The Woman in the Yard, and all these movies. And no one's really seeing them all that much. You know, they're not really making the case. We as audience members are not really making a good case for why Hollywood should make original movies. We have many more opportunities to come. There's a lot more, you know, to come in April. Sinners looks really good. That's the new Michael B. Jordan and Michael B. Jordan movie. But there's a lot of really interesting stuff coming out, and we should support the really good original movies that come out, because that's how Hollywood is convinced to make more of them.
That's a great answer. And I want to say, before we move on from Last Breath, it's rare, but the movie had no bad guys. Like, you're just watching this team try to save this guy, and it's riveting. And I didn't even care that there wasn't really a subplot or anything. It was fantastic.
It's almost better that it doesn't have a subplot. Yeah. I was waiting for it to bring in, you know, some sort of stuff. It's very much a kind of a movie about competence, a movie about people trying to do a job, trying to get something done, and trying to achieve it. And I think it's quite good. It's, if you're one of those people who's looking for a good drama in theaters, that's a really good one to check out while you still can.
Totally agree. All right, Matt Miller is here. We're going to do some news, and we'll come back, and we're going to talk about the Alto Knights and Mickey 17, and Matt's going to give us a rundown of some April films, and we'll talk about the controversy surrounding Snow White. You won't want to miss that. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight here with Matt Miller on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know we've got to find out.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. We've been talking a little Packers Hall of Fame. And Matt, you'll find this interesting. I think this guy, Jack Vanisi, who his brother Sam is trying to get him into the NFL Hall of Fame, is also the brother of Jerry Vanisi, who helped build the 1985 Bears. So he's right in the middle of these two brothers. He became a veterinarian. But I could have talked to this guy for an hour. He talked about these stories about growing up and getting into the NFL. And then he followed his brother up to Green Bay and instantly became a Packer fan after being a childhood Bear fan. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's always interesting, the kind of the proximity rivalries and kind of the inbred nature in some cases of, like, you know, you start as a Bears fan, become a Packers fan, or, you know, the Giants fans who becomes Jets fans who become Giants fans, and all the weird kind of sports weird relationship stuff.
It is weird to think that you are a fan your whole life of this team, but then, oh, your son plays quarterback there, or you marry a girl from here, and it's like, oh, that's all out the window. Daniel on our Facebook page says, Molly Ringwald he would take to prom. That's a good one, Daniel. Showing your age a little bit too. Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay says, Sydney Sweeney. Nice to see Sydney Sweeney getting some attention. She doesn't get nearly enough. And then Jody Hinman says, Carl Urban. Oh, wait, the answers are all over the board. I love this. This is a fun one.
It's a good choice. Carl Urban seems like a cool guy.
Yeah. I think Matt Miller's a cool guy. He joins us here on the stream tonight. We're talking movies and TV like we often do with our Milwaukee film critic friend here. Matt, I want to ask you about the Alto Knights, because this is so gimmicky. And when I first read it, I'm like, I don't know, man. I love De Niro. I like Barry Levinson. I didn't see it though. What did you think?
Nobody did. Nobody did. For those who don't know, this is the Robert De Niro and Robert De Niro are gangsters in like the 1950s, I believe. It's directed by Barry Sonnenfeld.
Levinson.
Levinson, yeah. Thank you. Written by the guy who I think did Goodfellas, so great track
Nicholas
record.
Nicholas Pileggi, yeah.
Yeah, great track record, bad movie. And I know I just went on this big diatribe of like, please see original movies.
Yeah.
But boy, this is not one you have to make time for. I was just so, it feels like Baby's First Gangster Movie, like these line readings of just like, people just repeating that it plays like there wasn't a script. Like it plays like they were like, and Robert De Niro, in this scene, you're going to talk about how you're annoyed at your friend. And so it's like 5 minutes of him being like, oh, I just can't believe he would do this. I mean, he goes and does that. How would he do that? Why would he do that? And it's that for like 5 minutes at a time. And you're just like, this scene is going nowhere. I want to cry.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah, it's a rather bad movie. Like, just watch Goodfellas again. Just watch any of the other mobster movies again. I was painfully bored watching that movie.
Wow. Well, I'm not surprised you say that because it didn't review particularly well, even with audiences. What about, did we talk about Mickey 17? I don't think you've been on the show since I've seen that.
Yeah, I don't think we got to talk about that one very much. I'm a fan of it. I'm a big fan of Bong Joon-ho. I really love The Host and Snowpiercer and obviously Parasite, which won Best Picture back in 2019. I think this is probably lower tier of his. You can tell that the script is really all over the place. There's a lot of voiceover. The tone is very strange, which is not unexpected for a Bong Joon-ho movie, but it takes a little bit to acclimate it to it, and there's so many balls it's juggling in the air. I enjoyed a lot of what it was doing, though. I liked Robert Pattinson. There's been a lot of dual roles this year so far. I don't know what Warner Brothers' deal is, but maybe they're really emphasizing the brothers thing this year with all the duels they have coming out. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I get why people wouldn't. It's a very weird blend of emotion and satire and action and goofiness. I think if you're a fan of Okja, if you're a fan of stuff like Brazil or Starship Troopers, you would enjoy something like this. But if you're like looking for just a, you know, good old fashioned sci-fi, you know, comedy romp, this isn't quite that.
Yeah, it's weird. I had just seen The Host and I liked Parasite. And so I gave this a chance. My wife and I went. First of all, I could not stand that voice. Robert Pattinson was just like, this guy needs a beating. Like, please stop.
Well, you're in the right place. It's a movie about a guy who is cloned to
who
die.
Rebirth himself, exactly. My guest is Matt Miller. He's a Milwaukee film critic, and you can follow him on his Substack at A Man About Film. We have a call, Matt. I think this might be for you as well. Let's put the call. Is it Ollie?
Yeah, it's Ollie from the Northwoods.
Ollie from the Northwoods. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Ollie, how are you tonight?
Hi. I would just like to say first off that your story with Sam and Cliff was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. It's always
great to hear the true story behind the story. And in that vein, I would like to say my prom date pick would be Elvis. And the reason behind that is that we were stationed, my dad was stationed in Germany about the same time that Elvis was there. And of course, he let his four little girls know that there was nothing going on in this house with Elvis the pelvis. So I would love to see my dad open the door to Elvis picking up his daughter for the prom, and love to hear what he would say to Elvis about making moves on his daughter.
Well, Matt and I will be happy to speculate about that, Ollie, and maybe we can give you an answer you'll enjoy. That's a great call. Thank you so much. That's Ollie from the Northwoods. She didn't specify, though, Matt, if it would be fat old Elvis or young pelvis Elvis. I'm guessing
if
the younger one.
Stationed in Germany era Elvis, I think it's still Elvis the pelvis era.
Probably.
Yeah, not quite Vegas era.
That's something a dad wants to see. All right, so we both didn't like Mickey. Oh, well, I didn't hate Mickey, I will say. The end, it had a nice message, and there was stuff about it I liked. I like
the ambition of it. It's a very flawed movie. And like I said, you get a little bit of the vibe that the studio may have messed with it because there's so much voiceover in the movie.
Right.
And there's so much like kind of story scrambling where the movie like jumps ahead and then jumps back and then jumps forward and then jumps back again. It's a very oddly, I get why the movie kind of flopped. Like,
yeah,
it was
same.
Always going to be a weird bet, but I like it as a weird bet.
Okay. That's fair. What now? Tell us about we do the popcorn pick of the week here every Thursday night, Matt. And we had Frank Hermans, who's a big does great stuff here in Green Bay. Basically owns the Meyer Theater. He came in and his popcorn pick of the week was Snow White. He loved it, and there was so much controversy around this film that didn't seem like it needed to happen. And I don't know why it did, but was the film good? Tell us your thoughts on Snow White.
Yeah, a lot of the controversy is dumb. A lot of the controversy is because Rachel Zegler has become public enemy number one for certain people on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because she's got theater kid energy. That's not a crime. I know some people don't like that she was vocal about what's going on in Palestine and Israel right now. I know Disney is trying to blame her for why the movie flopped. That's not her fault. And anyone who sees the movie knows that she's the best part of the movie. Like Rachel Zegler is so charming in the movie and is really bringing this princess character to life. There was also this dumb controversy where she, like, when they first were talking about her being in the movie, she was like, you know, the original Snow White is a bit outdated. Like, we're going to refresh it. And a bunch of people took umbrage at that because how dare you say that a movie from 1937 or whenever maybe doesn't hold up a century later. And she's not wrong. And as a matter of fact, I think a lot of the updates they do for the movie work out really well. The prince is like an actual character this time. Snow White has more character as well. I don't think the movie is great. I think Gal Gadot is pretty bad in the movie.
Oh.
She seems kind of lost in terms of how campy she wants to be, how big she wants to be, how human. She seems scared on screen, and she's the villain of the movie. She's not supposed to be the scared one.
Right.
And the CGI dwarves are very odd looking. But Ziegler is a star. She crackles on stage with the prince character. I think that works really well. And I don't think it's like the best directed movie ever, but Mark Webb, who did not the most recent Spider-Man movies, and not the original Spider-Man movies, but the Oreo filling Spider-Man movies. he's not a great director, but he has like a colorful pop to his movies. And I think that works in something like this, where you're trying to bring this animated movie to kind of live action life. You could do far worse in the subgenre of Disney live action remakes. You could do better. Cinderella is great. Pete's Dragon is great. But this is nowhere near as awful as the headlines would make you think. It is a perfectly serviceable, very charming kids movie.
I don't understand like the controversy. Like, I have two opinions on this. Like, if you're Rachel Zegler, why are you commenting on global politics right before a movie comes out? Like, can you wait until after they see the returns? Same thing with Gascon from Emilia Perez. And then also, I don't understand. Like, people seem to have an issue with her race. Like, and saying the woke stuff. Like, I don't understand. Like, I saw a hotel ad where there was an interracial couple and people are like, woke hotel, woke. And I'm like, that's what people do. They marry people from other races or religions. Yeah, that's not woke. That's life.
It's deeply dumb. And for some odd reason, this has been trailing Rachel Zegler's entire career. When she was cast in West Side Story, Spielberg's West Side Story, there were people who were, she's not Latina enough. And then she was cast in Snow White, and people were like, her name is Snow White. How dare you not cast in the Aryan master race?
I can't look and past this.
And it's just like, what are we doing here? You know, it's just the dumbest stuff that is driving this conversation. And for some odd reason, we let it take over the conversation on these movies. And it ends up kind of, toxifying the water and ruining what is a perfectly charming movie. And I know it's not going to make its money back. None of that is Rachel Zegler's fault. None of that's Gal Gadot's fault. It is the fault of the fact that people don't want these live action Disney remakes anymore. That, we've had our fill of seeing the version of these Disney movies that we love done worse. There's not been a single one of these that we liked more than the original movie. And that is why people didn't show up to Snow White, which, again, is a century old animated movie. That's not a movie that people watch a lot anymore. You know, we have new classics. So trying to like bring that back, it was always going to perform more like Dumbo than The Lion King.
Very interesting. What you mentioned Sinners coming up in April. Anything else we can look forward to in the next month hitting theaters or streaming?
Yeah, if we're looking at big blockbusters, we've got one coming out this weekend called a Minecraft movie. I'm hoping that theaters could use a hit this year. It's kind of been a slow start to the year, but obviously I'm kind of hoping that's a Five Nights at Freddy's kind of success. I've heard really good things about an indie movie called The Friend, which is a movie about with Bill Murray and Naomi Watts, where Bill Murray passes away, leaves this giant dog to Naomi Watts to take care of. And it sounds really kind of cloying and like saccharine, but all the reviews out of the festivals are like, this movie's really charming. Don't worry about the dog. They seem to be going out of their way to be like, this isn't going to be that kind of movie. and I there's really good reviews. Naomi Watts is a really good actress. I'm glad she's getting some good work here. I'm also excited about the horror movie Drop, about a woman who goes on a date and she starts getting drops on her phone from someone who is saying that she needs to kill her date or they will kill her son. And it's like this whole web of like, yeah, it looks like a really fun, crazy time. It's from the director of Happy Death Day, which is a very fun modern slasher movie. Highly recommend checking that out. And if you like that kind of tone, that kind of playful horror slasher vibe, I think you'd have fun with Drop as well.
Okay.
And then another one, I just want to drop one more in here.
Yeah.
The Luckiest Man in the World, I believe it's called, which is quietly, very quietly coming into movie theaters this weekend. Do you know the story of like the 1980s match game, or not match game, Press Your Luck, where a guy went on Press Your Luck and like knew the rhythm and the routine of where the light bulbs went and won like an insane amount of money, and the station was like, you cheated, and he's like, no, I didn't, I was just smarter than you. And so they've made a movie about this guy, and
it stars
Paul Walter Hauser, who was in the Richard Jewell movie, and I, Tonya. Really good actor. I think David Strathairn is in it as well. Very tiny little indie movie, but definitely I think one worth checking out if it's playing in a theater close to you.
All right, we're going to do a very short break. Then we'll have a couple more minutes with Matt when we come back. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. By the sky and tell the sky and the sky and tell the sky.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwab. I am Pete Schwab. Conrad riding shotgun as usual. Tomorrow night on the show, influencer and filmmaker Craig Benzine will be here. Craig made a documentary about Japanese Packer fans called No Packers, No Life. I had the opportunity to interview Craig on PBS Wisconsin's Director's Cut, which I host, and that is airing tonight. He is one of the guests. You can find out a lot more information about the Wisconsin Film Festival if you check out Director's Cut tonight on PBS Wisconsin, and you can watch it online as well. Very informative if you're interested in heading to the festival. My guest right now is Matt Miller. Before we let you go, Matt, I wanted to ask you about the Rust documentary. How was that? The Alec Baldwin accidental shooting?
Yeah, Last Take. I believe it's on either Hulu or Peacock. I think it's a Hulu documentary. I was going into this documentary pretty nervous because I've seen some pretty crummy kind of true crime documentaries that have clearly been rushed out to kind of capitalize on big headlines and things like that. And I thought this was actually really well done. I think it does a good job of kind of breaking down what actually happened on the set, breaking down all of just the factual levels of, you know, what happened and everything that happened afterwards as well, while also keeping a very human tone to the situation.
Yeah.
And I think it really does a good job at the end talking to the cast and crew about why they came back to finish the movie after this happened, after the tragedy that happened to Halyna Hutchins, the cinematographer who was shot and killed accidentally on that film. I was waiting for it to be this super exploitative, you know, crummy documentary that like fed into like conspiracies and stuff like that. And instead, I think it's a very good tribute to her, a good kind of, you know, factual, this is what happened. And a good kind of breakdown of like why people make this art and, you know, why people came back to this, you know, cursed project.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me want to see the movie Rust, which they are going to release. They finished the movie. It seems like it's going to come out. I don't know if I really want to see it because there's that giant cloud hanging over that movie.
Yeah.
But you watch the documentary and you're like, I understand.
Okay.
Almost the needed therapy, like catharsis these people needed to get this out almost out of their system. I think it's a really well done documentary. It's called Last Take. And if you like that, she also did the filmmaker who did that documentary also did a little mini series on HBO called An Update on Our Family about these family influencers who got into hot water. Micah Stauffer was her name. It was like a big viral story 3-4 years ago. Very similar in that it takes this very kind of internet friendly story and finds the interesting nuances and finds the kind of interesting, it finds the depth in things that became turned, it got turned into internet memes essentially.
Interesting. That's a, yeah, I kind of want to see it, but I agree with you. It probably has like that, the Crow feel. Where you know when you see that scene where Brandon Lee probably died, it's just got to be just a horrible, I don't know. I'm not anxious to see it either, I guess, is what I'm saying, Matt. I agree with you.
Yeah,
hey, buddy. I'm go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say I'm glad for the people who needed to get it out of their system.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe that's almost more of like a therapy thing for them, and I don't need to participate as it as a viewer, you know?
Totally get it. I'm totally with you on that. Hey, when you come back, Matt, hopefully I will have seen Black Bag by then and A Working Man, and we can talk some more movies. But let's do that soon, buddy. Thanks for your time
tonight. Yeah, that sounds great. Let's Milwaukee Film Festival coming up. Got to let people know.
We'll do that, too. Yeah, let's
do that. I know they're announcing the schedule, I believe, Friday this week. And then it starts up April 24th. So everyone get excited about that.
Awesome. Well, we'll do that before it opens and get your take on that. As always, Matt, thanks so much, buddy.
Pete, a pleasure as always.
All right. That's Matt Miller. Check out his work at A Man About Film on Substack. And always fun to talk to Matt about movies. Also, thank you to Sam Venisi and Cliff Wall for being here in the studio talking about Jack Venisi's campaign, his posthumous campaign, not really his campaign, but his brother's campaign, to get into the NFL Hall of Fame. That's exciting. And you can, they'll be out at, what was the intersection that we're going to be at again, Conrad? During the draft. We'll find it. We'll find it in the podcast, but they'll be, that's exciting. Steady Eddie checking in on the text line. Our question tonight was, what celebrity would you want to ask to prom? And Steady Eddie says, Pete, my celebrity fantasy prom date, definitely Pamela Anderson of the Baywatch era. If she can't go because she's busy washing her hair that night, then I'm hoping Sam Elliott says yes. See, Steady Eddie, that's what I love about Steady Eddie. He just wants a cool date. He wants someone cool to hang with.
Yeah.
He says, speaking of Baywatch, is it true that Hollywood has called you Peach Wabba with your curly hair and rugged good looks? Emoji that's like Groucho. I don't get that. But he says, the poor man's David Hasselhoff. Yes, Steady Eddie, I am the poor man's David Hasselhoff. Steady Eddie says, I can see it. Thank you, buddy. He says, if you could only carry a tune without using a wheelbarrow. Steady Eddie is on his game this Monday night. Thank you for the text, buddy. Tomorrow night, as I mentioned, Craig Benzine will hear. Craig is an influencer, Conrad. Have you heard of this? Wheezy Waiter is what he goes by. He's got like over 1 million YouTube followers.
No, I did not know.
You think he would funnel some of those our way tomorrow night? Give us a couple likes on social media? Would it kill him to do that?
Just a little bit.
We're having him on.
Yeah.
I already don't like this interview. No, Craig's great. I interviewed him on PBS. He's a great guy. And no Packers, no life about Japanese Packer fans. These Japanese Packer fans, folks, party as hard as any Northeast Wisconsin or Wisconsin Packer fans. It's supposed to be a great documentary, and we'll talk to Craig about that tomorrow night. Check out Director's Cut on PBS Wisconsin tonight if you're looking for something to watch. It's our Wisconsin Film Festival episode. We will continue to talk about the film festival throughout the week and many other topics. Hope to see you tomorrow night. Thanks again to my guests. Thank you for all your texts, folks, and calls. It was a lot of fun tonight. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.